give you praise that it is done.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Randy. This morning, I want to talk to you about detours in life. How many of you ever had a detour in your life? We all have. Our life hasn't gone the way we thought it would. You know, when you're young, you have this, well, I'm going to get out of high school. You can't wait to get out of high school. I'm going to go to college. I'm going to get my degree. I'm going to get a good job. I'm going to get married. I'm going to have kids. I'm going to have this big house, a nice car. And what happens? We hit a detour. Okay, it might be a big detour. It might be a little detour. As we get older, we have other aspirations that we want to achieve, but we hit detours. And so what do we do when we hit a detour? Do we quit? Do we decide that God's not there? He's not going to help us? You know, he left us? Well, let's take a look and see what happens in a detour. Let's think about a detour in the natural. We're driving down the road. We're going on vacation. We're going to have a great time. We're just zipping down the road, you know, and everything is cool. We're enjoying the scenery. And all of a sudden, this pops up. Detour. We're going, oh, no, no detour. We have a destination. We want to get there. But this is an unexpected detour. Now we don't know where we're going because we're taking roads off here, there, or wherever. And so now we're unfamiliar with the territory. We're seeing something new, something we haven't seen before. The road might be rough when we were on a nice, smooth road, because you know many times the detours aren't the real nice, smooth roads. It might be a long detour. Some of them can be 20 or 30 miles, or it might be a short one. It might be a mile or two. But all of us have had detours in our life. And maybe you're on a detour right now. Maybe you've asked, God, have you forgotten about me? Have you ever been there? I've got, God, what have I done wrong? Where have you gone? Did you go on vacation? Do you forget that I live here in Sioux Falls, South Dakota? Or maybe, you know, you have health issues. Maybe you're questioning God because of the delays in life. Maybe the plans that seemed so sure and so guaranteed didn't happen. Maybe you studied, prepared, fasted, prayed. You thought you were doing everything right, and now you're staring at the job that you didn't get. Maybe you lost your job. Maybe you need jobs. I don't know what your detour is, but you know God has an answer. And detours come in all shapes and sizes. But one common thing is we don't see them coming. They catch us off guard. And they leave us frustrated and curious and confused and heartbroken. We have questions, why did it happen? What did I do? Why did it happen this time? Maybe you're depressed, you're discouraged. Everybody else is getting blessed but me. Have you ever been there? Well, look at them, they're blessing. They're getting blessed. What about me? God, I've given. I've done everything you've asked. What about me? And our ultimate temptation is to get discouraged and angry at God as we experience our faith being tested. We don't want our faith to be tested. We want to have a pity party because we didn't see the detour coming. Have you ever had one of those pity parties? I have. And you know what? Nobody came to my party. It was just me. And that was disappointing because nobody would come. Nobody would join in on my pity party. But you know, at times like this, we have got to trust God and his word. Because God's word is true and we can trust it. But you know, first of all, you've got to establish in your heart that you are a child of God. Because if you don't establish in your heart that you're a child of God, then you have no confidence that what God has said, God will do. So you need to have the confidence that, hey, I am a child of God. He is who he says I am. And I'm okay. He loves me. Jeremiah 31:3 says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. That says everlasting love. That means always. No matter what we do, God loves us. You know, it's no different than your kids. When your kids screw up, you still love them. You don't throw them out. You don't say, well, honey, you screwed up today, out the door. You don't do that. You may correct them. You may share with them what they did wrong, but you still love them. And our Heavenly Father's the same way. He loves us no matter what. And Romans 8:31 said, if God is for us, who can be against us? Nobody can be, God's on our side, okay? So nobody can be against us. So we have to know that we're a child of God, and we have to know that God's word is the truth and we can trust it. That's why we're always encouraging you to read your Bible so you know what your Bible says. So that you can go to Him knowing that He will do what He said He would do. When you're on this detour and it doesn't look like anything's going right, it doesn't look like nothing's ever going to happen, that's when you know that this Bible, what does it say? He is truthful and He'll do it. He's not a man that He should lie. If He said it in here, He's going to do it. Psalms 119, 160 in the Passion Bible says, the sum total of all your words adds up to the absolute truth, and every one of your righteous decrees is everlasting. So all of His words add up to the absolute truth. He doesn't lie. He tells us the truth. So when we find ourselves in a detour, don't start to panic. That's the first thing we want to do. Oh my gosh, what's going to happen? How am I going to do that? How am I going to make it work? We don't want to do that. Don't start to complain. Don't start trying to figure out what you're going to do next. Simply trust God. He's the one who's going to see you through this. He knows all, He sees all, and He can do all things. So let's trust Him. So I want to look at a couple instances in the Bible where men found themselves in a detour. And the first one is Joseph. Joseph's probably one of my favorite Bible characters. Now, Joseph had these couple dreams that his family was going to be bowing down to him. Now, I would imagine, because he was young, when he had those dreams, he didn't really know how that was going to happen. But he just saw these dreams and knew that his family was going to bow down to him. Well, you know what happens? He tells his brothers, and of course, they don't like that. And besides that, he is his father's favorite, so they're really jealous of him. So they decide, they see him coming one day because his father had sent him out to check on his brothers. They see him coming. They decide they're going to throw him in a pit. And then they just said, well, we'll just sell him to these traitors. So he sold to Potiphar, and he goes as a slave to Potiphar's house. Now, do you think that's where Joseph thought he was going to go? I'm sure that was a detour for him. I mean, he was the father's favorite. He didn't expect to be in another land as a servant. But you know what Joseph did? Joseph made the very best of it. He did the very best job that he could do. God was with him. He got promoted to where he was the head of everything that Potiphar had. And everything that he did was blessed and prospered. Because Potiphar recognized that everything that Joseph did was blessed. So here we find Joseph on a detour, not where he had planned, but we find him being blessed. The only thing Potiphar had to do is decide what he was going to eat. Joseph took care of everything else. Now, Joseph could have gone, well, I'm not going to be a slave here, and I'm not going to do what I want, what he tells me to do. I'm mad at my brothers. They sold me here into slavery. But he didn't do that. He kept a good attitude. And because of that, God blessed him. On this detour, he was still blessed. Now, while he's on this detour, And things are looking pretty good now for him because, you know, he's running the whole show. But Potiphar's wife decides she's going to step in. And she tries to get him to sleep with her, and he refuses. Ends up getting thrown in prison. Now, he got thrown in prison for something he didn't do wrong. So when you're on a detour, don't think you've done something wrong that you're on this detour. Joseph did what was right. He ran from Potiphar's wife. He didn't do wrong. But he ends up in prison. Again, he wasn't planning on being in prison. That wasn't part of his plan for his life. But he finds himself there, and again, he does the very best job in prison. The prison warden notices it, and he promotes him. All the time, when Joseph was on this detour, he was doing his very best job. And God was blessing him and promoting him. So when we're on our detour, let's quit whining and fussing and complaining, and let's do our very best job. We have a lesson to learn here. Joseph was learning something here. He was learning how to manage things. God had a plan for Joseph's life. Joseph probably thought, well, it doesn't look like it, but it was. And God was teaching him how to manage. And then one day, Joseph gives up. He's in prison. By night, he's second in command. He got back on the main road again. But he didn't fuss. He didn't complain. I can't find any place, as I read through Joseph, that he complained once, that he fussed once, that he was angry, that he was disappointed, that he was discouraged, or anything. He handled the situation well. And we can do the same. We are going to have detours. Guarantee it. So how are we going to handle the detour? Let's get it settled. I'm on a detour. I'm going to trust God. He's going to get me there. I don't know how. I don't know what he's going to do, but he's going to get me to the main road again. But I'm just going to follow him. Stay on the detour. Don't get off of the detour. Stay on the detour. He'll get you there. And remember, Joseph didn't do anything wrong when he got thrown in prison. So you might not be doing anything wrong either. And the first thing that we want to do when it comes to a detour many times is go, what did I do wrong? Maybe you didn't do anything wrong. You're just on a detour. God's going to show you something. If we go to, let's turn to Exodus 13. We're going to talk about the Israelites coming out of Egypt. Because we can learn a lesson here also. Exodus 13, verse 17 and 18. It says, when Pharaoh finally let the people go, God did not lead them along the main road that runs through Philistine territory, even though that was the shortest route to the promised land. God said, if the people are faced with a battle, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led them in a roundabout way through the wilderness toward the Red Sea. Thus the Israelites left Egypt like an army ready for battle. Have you ever been on your detour and it's not going in a straight path? It's going on a roundabout way. And you're going, God, why are we going this way? I mean, can't we just go straight? He said, no, I want you to follow this path. It's like these roundabouts that they're putting in the intersections now. To me, those things are the dumbest thing I've ever seen. I mean, there's one right down here on Louise, and you got to, you know, keep, hey, just put a four-way stop there. To me, that's easier. But I guess they think that traffic flows better or something. And they're okay if you kind of know where you're going. But when you get out in Washington State and you don't know where you're going and you got all these roundabouts, I guarantee it, we've got off on the wrong one several different times. But if we'll stay on the road, stay on the detour, even if it's a roundabout way, he's going to get us there. And you've probably all experienced that on a detour, that you eventually got there. It was longer than you thought, wasn't the way you thought, but you finally got there. So let's look at verse 13 and 14. Let's look at 22 and 23. It said, the Lord went ahead of them, guided them during the day with a pillar of cloud, and he provided light at night with a pillar of fire. This allowed them to travel by day or by night. So he led them. They're on this detour, but God led them by a cloud and by fire. So he's going to lead us. Now, he doesn't lead us most generally by a cloud or by fire. He leads us by his word. And his word says that his word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. So if I'm going to follow him on this detour, I'm going to look to his word because it's going to tell me where to go and how to get there. He's promised me that. And so then we're going to go to verse 22. Oh, no, we're going to go to Exodus 14 now. And we're going to go to verse 4. And once again, I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will chase after you. I have planned this in order to display my glory through Pharaoh and his whole army. After this, the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. So the Israelites camped there as they were told. He sent that army behind them on purpose. He was going to display his glory through Pharaoh and his whole army. And then the Egyptians would know that he was the Lord. So in these detours that we have, God's going to show us his glory. He's going to show us what he can do. And then 13 and 14 says, but Moses told the people, don't be afraid, just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. They didn't even have to fight. He told them, hey, stay calm. Don't be afraid. They were having the opportunity to be afraid. Why? Because they saw the army coming after them. And they knew they were in trouble when the army comes because they weren't prepared to fight. They didn't have the necessary things to fight with. But God said, hey, look, guys, don't be afraid. Stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. So what detour are you on? Stand still. Don't be afraid. Your fear is keeping you from getting back on the main road. Don't be afraid. Stand still and watch God fight for you. Verses 22 and 23 says, so the people of Israel walked through the middle of the sea on dry ground. Remember that Moses came up to the Red Sea and he put his staff over it and the waters parted. The wind blew all night. They walked across on dry ground. And he said, the people of Israel walked through the middle of the sea on dry ground with walls of water on each side. Then the Egyptians, all of Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and charioteers, chased them into the middle of the sea. Okay, now all of Pharaoh and his army is in the middle of the sea. And then what happens? In verse 28, it says, then the waters returned, covered all the chariots and charioteers, the entire army of Pharaoh, of all the Egyptians who had chased the Israelites into the sea, not a single one survived. All they had to do was do what God told them to do. God led them by a cloud, led them by a pillar of fire, and as they did that, he said, hey, stand still and watch what I'm going to do. He's saying that to you. Hey, hey, it's okay. Stand still. I got it covered. I'm taking care of it. Just watch what I can do. And you know, we might be confused and frustrated because the detour is taking us, because the detour God is taking us on does not seem clear. But sometimes God does things that doesn't make sense. We don't understand it, but we have to do what he says to do. We have to follow the detour. And yeah, it doesn't make sense, but you know, God has a way of doing things like that. And it's okay. He's got it covered. He knows exactly what he's doing. So just follow him. Follow the cloud and follow the fire and he's going to get you to freedom. And I know sometimes all of a sudden we are facing an unexpected detour. Maybe it's a sickness. Maybe it's a divorce. Maybe it's bankruptcy. Maybe you lost a job. Maybe you're not getting jobs. Maybe someone's hurt you. Maybe somebody stole from you. Whatever the detour is that you're looking at, know that God's got it in control.
Amen.
You just need to rest. You know, I read where, you know, when you're going along in this detour, just quit fighting it and flip over and float. And I thought, yeah, we're always trying to fight the detour. We're not letting him do the fighting. We're trying to will it to happen, and it doesn't work. Remember, God loves us, and he never fails us. His word is true, and we can trust him. So in the meantime, let's just praise God. Because praise stills the enemy and the avenger. And I know you don't feel like praising God. Hey, I've been there in the middle of a detour, and I don't want to praise God. Hey, I want to have the pity party. Okay? But you know what I need to do? I just need to rest, and I just need to praise God. In the midst of it. And the devil says, you're crazy. Look at what's going on. You're saying, I'm not crazy. I'm praising God. I'm worshiping him because he's working in my behalf. I can't see it. Joseph couldn't see it. He had no idea that morning when he got up that at night he was going to be second in command. No idea. And you know, you and I don't either. We have no idea what's going to happen tonight. We got up this morning. We came to church. You have no idea what might happen before night. What God might do in your life tonight. You just need to rest in that, knowing, hey, he's got everything under control. But here's what's happening. The devil is trying to distract us and get us sidetracked from where God's taking us. He's trying to whisper in your ear. He's trying to get you to look at all of this stuff out there. But no, we're going to look at what does God say. What did he say about the situation? My checkbook might say zero, but God says, I'm meeting all your needs according to my riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He might say, you'll never get there. God says, you'll get there. God says, you might say, the devil's saying, you can't do that. You can't start your own business. God says, you can do anything. All he's trying to do, he's trying to get us so that we will not believe what God has said is ours. So let's quit getting sidetracked by what the devil's telling us or what our eyes are seeing or what we're hearing. You know, if we listen to that, let's take our government. If we listen to everything people were telling us, they'd think our government's going down the tube, but I got news for them. I got a God that's more than enough. And he says, if I will pray for those that are in authority, amen, I'm going to lead a quiet and peaceable life. Amen. So I'm praying. My president has got a big responsibility. Okay? I wouldn't want his job, and I wouldn't want the criticism that he's taken. It's unreal what he has to deal with. But I'm not listening to what the devil says. I'm not listening to what the reporters say. Do you understand you can't believe half of what you hear? It's all biased. Hard for me to understand. This little girl that likes everything black and white, it's hard for me to believe that people get up there and lie and don't tell the truth, but they do. So I'm not believing it. I'm not being distracted by that. I'm going to go, my Bible says, and I'm going to do what my Bible says. And I don't know how he's going to do it. I just know he's going to do it. Because he's promised it in his word. So that's the route that I'm taking. God is on our side. And it doesn't help for us to grumble and complain. And I know, you know, it's hard. We're in the midst of a situation sometimes to not grumble and complain. But you know what? It doesn't help. And our grumbling and complaining makes everybody around us unhappy. Yes. And it makes us unhappy. Yes. And we're not going to achieve what we want because we're grumbling and complaining. In a detour, God leads us because he says his word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path, and we can trust him. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They're plans for good and not disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Amen. His plans for us are good, and they're not disaster. Okay, so we can cling to that. Hey, God, your plans for me are good. Even though it doesn't look like it right now, he's melting the mountains right in front of us. Isaiah 55:9 says, for just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. So let's go his way. Let's believe his thoughts because they're higher than ours. And because we know that God is good, we can trust that every reason for the detour is equally as good. So let's look at this detour and say, what can I learn from this detour? What can I choose to do in this detour? What can I say in this detour? What can I think in this detour? We can grow and learn in our detours. And we need to do that. Instead of looking at it like they're a curse, let's look at it and say, okay, God, I'm on this detour. Show me what you want me to learn. Joseph was learning in his detour. He was learning how to manage because he eventually was going to have to figure out how they could have enough food to feed him after the 7 years of plenty to feed all the people when there was 7 years of drought. So we can learn. He's leading us on these detours so that we will learn and grow. Because I don't know about you, but when everything is going good, we're not learning and growing. When all the bills are paid, we got plenty of money in the bank, we're going on vacations, the kids are all doing good, we're not believing God for nothing. We're just coasting along, enjoying life. So when we get on this detour, it's for us to learn. Detours help us see God's character more clearly. He uses detours in life to teach us about himself. When you're on a detour, you learn about his love, his faithfulness. We can trust him. He can do the impossible. He's forgiving. He's provider. We'll learn those things when we're on a detour. And when we're on this detour, we'll see things we've never seen before. So is it possible you need to be seeing something on this detour instead of grumbling and complaining and all of that? Open your eyes. What does God want to show you? I'll bet he'll show you something on this detour. A detour fosters intimacy with Christ. Have you ever noticed when you're on that detour, you spend a lot of time with God? You spend time in prayer, reading the Word, asking for forgiveness, seeking his love, you're wanting answers. You turn to God in a hurry. But like I said, when things are going good, many times we forget all about him. We don't thank him for the good times, what he's blessed us with. But when our back's against the wall, we're right there. God, help me. And you know, he wants to help you. He does. He's not going to sit there and say, well, you know, you made that mess. Just stay in it. No, he wants to help you. He's a loving father. He wants to help. The detours exercise our faith. You know, if we go to work out our body, we're going to work it out. You know, it's gonna hurt a little bit. We're going to get out of breath. But we're doing it because we know it makes our body fit. So you know what? We're going to have to exercise our faith the same way so that we can use it. If we never exercise our faith, then when we need it, we don't know how to do anything with it. So let's exercise our faith. It's okay. We'll get through it. All right? He's helping us. The orange detour signs help us through the construction zone. You know, if you will follow that detour sign, you will get through the construction, you'll get through the detour, and you'll get back on the main road. And God's showing us where to go, and he's also showing us that he's using these detours to mold us more like his son. We'll be more like him as we go down this detour. So he's wanting us to be like him, and he's showing us how to be like him. And then in these detours, we look for his presence and protection, and we find it. And when you're on a detour, you know that God's protecting you, and you know his presence is there. You can feel it. We have to trust the detour, trust the process that God has us in until we get back on the main road again. It's okay. It's not fun. It's not easy, but you know what? If you don't quit, you'll get there. If you follow the detour signs on a natural detour, you're going to get there. But you got to stay on the detour road. All right? In life, sometimes we hit a detour, and it's a major detour. You know, we have some that are kind of minor, and then we have some that are major. And when we hit a major detour, sometimes it's hard for us to understand what happened. And we ask God, why did this happen? And God doesn't answer. And so we're going, you know, we're trying to make it fit in the scheme of things. But you know, when you reach one of those where you have, where he doesn't answer, you don't know why it happened. Maybe you lost a loved one. Maybe you lost a job. Maybe somebody cheated you out of a bunch of money. Whatever happened, you don't understand it. Put it in this I don't understand it folder. And when you put it in here, you put it in here and you forget it. Okay? We're going to file this away, and we're not going to let this hinder us from going on. Now, I understand it was a major detour. But you know what? We have to go on. We can't let this detour, this thing, keep us from going on. I'll use this for an example. Some years back, it's probably been how many years ago since Ben died? 14 years ago. We had a young man in church that was out at Wall Lake, got hit by a jet ski. And he didn't die right away, but he was in the hospital about 2 weeks, I think. And we prayed. I mean, we had prayer meetings, and we prayed, and we would go into his room and pray for him. But he died. Went to heaven. Thank God. You know, he turned his life around. He was serving Christ. I often wonder what he would be doing today if he was still on earth, because he was turned on for Jesus. And, you know, I asked God, and why didn't we get the victory? We had a young lady that had two young children. She died of cancer. God, those kids need her. The littlest one was in kindergarten. Okay? We just had a young man here a few years ago. He's got two sons. It's like, God. But you know what? He doesn't tell me. And it's not for me to know if he doesn't tell me. So I put it in this folder. I say, God, you know what? I don't know why Ben died. I don't know why Don died. I don't know why Joel died, but I'm putting them in here, and I'm walking on with you. If I keep on this why, I'm not going to move on. God can't use me because I'm stuck in the why. I have to move on. I have to keep moving forward because God loves me, he's for me, and he has a great plan for me. And the same is true with these ones that have lost loved ones. God's got a plan for them. And I know at the time it looks like, the plan's, what do you mean a plan? But you got to pick yourself up and go, okay, I'm going on. God's still got a work for me to do. And he's got a work for you to do. So put it in the I don't understand folder, file it away, and don't pick it up again. Okay? We're going on. And you know what? I'm going to continue to pray for my church family or anybody that gets sick, that gets hurt, that gets cancer, or whatever, because the word says for me to pray. And I'm going to continue to pray. I'm not going to quit. Just because it didn't work, I'm not going to quit. I'm going to continue on. We hit a detour there, but you know what? One of these days, we're going to get on the right road. I can't let that happen. I can't think on that. I can't dwell on those things. I got to watch what I'm thinking. When you're in a detour, you got to watch what you're thinking. Because thinking won't get you anywhere. It'll keep you on the detour. We got to get rid of this thing. What does God say? I've got to get back on that. What did he say? I've got to think on that. He said this, I'm going to believe that. I'm not going to believe what I see. I'm not going to believe what I feel. I'm going to believe what his word says. Sometimes we find ourselves on a detour because of danger ahead that we can't see, but God can. So he's detouring us around the danger. Sometimes we find ourselves on a detour because we're determined to go our own way. What about Jonah? God told Jonah, go to Nineveh and preach to those people. He says, I'm not going there. Them people are wicked. And besides that, he knew they'd turn to God, and he didn't want them to turn to God. So he went the other direction. Well, what happened? A storm came. They threw him overboard, and it just happens God had a whale there to swallow him up. Now think about this. You might be going your own way, but God's still watching out for you. He didn't let Jonah drown. He had the whale there to swallow him up. And don't you know, Jonah got right with God real quick. He didn't like being in that whale, in the belly of that whale, with the seaweed all wrapped around him and the smell and the yuck, okay? He says, okay, God, I repent. The whale spit him up. And God said, okay, Jonah, to Nineveh. And he did. So you know what? Don't insist on your own way. If God is speaking to you and telling you to do something, do it. Okay? Do it. And if he's spoken it more than once, you really need to do it. Now, I know sometimes when God speaks to us the first time, we're not quite as excited about doing it. But when he speaks again, we know then, you know what, I need to do that. And some of you, God's spoken to you more than once, more than twice. You need to do it. Okay, get off of this detour. You've been on this detour long enough. Let's get back on the main road again. And you know, we all face things. And when we're in the middle of that detour, sometimes it can be hard. We were pastoring in Auburn, Nebraska. Probably most of you have heard this story because Pastor tells it because he says Peoria is hell on earth. But anyway, we were in Auburn, we were pastoring, and we knew that God spoke to our heart and told us there was something else for us to do. He told us to sell our home. We sold our home. He told us to resign from the church. We resigned from the church. And a couple days before we were supposed to give possession of our house to the couple that bought it, he told us where to go. Now, through that time, we were peaceful about it. I mean, our families thought we were crazy. Well, where are you going to go? I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? You've sold your house. You've resigned from the church. What do you mean you don't know where you're going? I don't know. God hasn't told us. But when God spoke to us, we packed our possessions and went to Peoria. Now, we thought we had knew the plan, okay? We figured we'd go to Peoria, we'd start a church, and all would be cool. Well, you know what? We took a major detour because starting a church was not God's plan. God's plan was for Larry to go to work in a secular job, which he had never worked before, and work for this gentleman. And Larry hated it. because he wanted to preach the word. That's all he wanted to do. But you know what? On this detour, God had something that Larry needed to learn. And he learned it. 7 years later, we came to Sioux Falls. But we had to stay on the path. And believe me, he was miserable. Okay? He didn't like it. But we got through it. We stayed on the detour, even though we didn't like the detour. We stayed there. But you know what? It might have been a little less time if Pastor would have been happy. I don't know, but he did get to where he was happier along toward the end because he was so miserable. He decided that wasn't working, so he needed to be happy, okay? And now we thought, oh, great, we're here. You know, we get to start a church here. But do you know what? This detour has had some detours too. It's had some times when it wasn't. You go, God, did I hear you? Are you sure this is what I'm supposed to do? But you know, when you've heard God's voice, you know what you're supposed to do. And you know, no matter what is going on around you and what you see, you're supposed to stay and do what he said to do. And you can rest in that. So don't fight the detour. Remember, we're learning. I think if we would get this mindset, okay, I'm going through a detour. Now, what am I going to learn here? I think that will help us. Won't make the detour so miserable, okay? Another detour that we face is when Pastor Larry had to have heart surgery. When we got that news, that was a devastating news because that was totally an unexpected detour. And you know, when you listen to what the doctors tell you, because they told him, he said, this aorta is so huge that it could burst at any time. And if it does, you'll never make it to the hospital. The nurse told him, one pain and you're gone. Now, in that detour, you've got to take a hold of yourself and thank God for the word, because I would have been a basket case, because I can be a warrior, and I could have worried. But I had to go and trust the word. Okay, God, you don't just have the surgery that day when you find out. You've got to go through the process. So I had to trust him. We had to trust him. God, you know, this is what, it's okay. We will get through this. And he got through surgery beautifully. Everything went well. But he had this awful cough. It just wore me out and wore him out. I mean, when you see your husband coughing and you've just had this big incision here and an incision over here and you're coughing like that, it is worrisome to the wife, okay? And I had to deal with that. But here's what I found out. Larry was just resting. He was just flowing with it, okay? I wasn't. I was trying to make the cough go away. I was trying to force my faith. And Larry'd say, Kathy, you cannot make it. You cannot force it. I said, I know, but you're coughing and coughing and you're passing out. And, you know, I'm having to look and make sure that he's not passing out on me. Had Terry, Mom, come here. He was got up out of his chair and was walking in. Of course, by then I was used to it, so it didn't bother me, but to her, it was panic. But I had to walk it out. It was a detour. And I learned. The biggest thing I probably learned was I cannot force the issue. And too many of us are trying to force the issue. And we're not rolling over and floating and letting God take care of it. So roll over and float and let God take care of it. He can do that and he will do that. Okay, and on your detour, don't dwell on what has happened, what is happening or what hasn't happened. Know that God's in control and he's going to take care of it. I know it's been longer than you thought, but you know what? Maybe you're not ready for it yet. Is it possible? You'd say, well, it's been 10 years. I know. Maybe he's still working things out. It's just like your kids. You know, they want something, and you go, no, you can't have that. Well, why? I'm old enough. I'm big enough. You say, no, you're not ready for it yet. So just keep walking. Keep walking. Those who put their trust in Jesus Christ will emerge as gold refined by fire. You will be a priceless diamond. Only way to get a priceless diamond is it's outlasted the pressure. So when you see those diamonds, it's outlasted the pressure. And so let's be the same way. When the detour comes, let's outlast the pressure. It's okay. We're going to walk through it. We'll get through it. We'll get back to the main road. But we're going to trust God. Don't let the detour derail you. Keep moving forward and pressing toward the main road of life. I like Isaiah 40, 28 through 31. It says, have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to the weak, strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint.
Amen.
He'll give us strength. He'll give us power. We can run. We won't grow weary, and we'll walk and not faint. That's because we're trusting in him. Father, in Jesus' name, Father, I'm thanking you that whatever detours that